Morning. Let's talk to our first guest of the morning, and he's called Greg Price, and he's the treasurer of the Exmouth Gig Club. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hope you are too.
Yes, thank you for inviting us.
Is it a gig rowing day for you today?
I will be out later on the water, yeah. This evening we're going out. So.
Right. Before that, we've got you here. Let's talk about gig racing.
Yep.
What is a gig, then?
A gig is a 30-foot wooden boat manned by six rowers and a coxswain. Goes back to the kind of mid-17th century, when they would have been used to pilot pilots out to, you know, row pilots out to their boats out in the Atlantic. And they'd basically race to see who could get the pilot out there first. And then they'd get their money if they were the first there. That's the kind of history of the boat, really.
And you mentioned six people. Is that the stipulation? You can't have any more on a gig than six?
No, so the way they're manufactured, the way they're made, is, yeah, there's room for six rowers and the coxswain, and then there's a pilot seat at in the bow of the boat, which nowadays doesn't tend to get anyone sitting in it, but obviously when they were used traditionally to get pilots out to their vessels, that's where the pilot would have sat. So, yeah.
Okay, talk to us about the history of the Exmouth Gig Club.
Okay, so the club formed back in, I think it was about May 2014. It was set up by a local lad called Ben Atkinson, who's still involved in the club, still an active member and coxswain. He was the chairman for the first 3 years of the club. He'd rowed in a few other areas. He'd rowed for Clevedon, he'd rowed over at Sidmouth. But he's a local lad to Exmouth, so thought, you know what, it's about time we brought the sport to this community. Set the club up, did fantastically well to get all the things that are necessary to start a club going from scratch. Got our first boat, and the club's just kind of built from there, really.
You said exclusively this sort of area.
Yeah.
What about further afield? Because I know, obviously, it's big in Devon, it's big in Cornwall, but what about further afield? Do they know about gig racing?
Well, yeah, what we're seeing at the moment is the sport is just increasing in popularity, you know, so quickly, and, you know, clubs are cropping up further along the south coast of the country, so as far as sort of Portsmouth, and further afield, I think there's a club quite recently in sort of Sussex as well that started up. And then you've got the north coast of Cornwall through Devon and up into kind of Somerset and Avon. There's a brand new club in Portishead, Burnham-on-Sea.
So we're talking the Bristol area, really.
Well, that's
aren't
it,
we?
Yeah. And there are clubs in other countries, you know, at the World Championships, which we might talk about in a bit. There's clubs from Ireland, there's clubs from Bermuda, clubs from America. It's fast becoming, you know, a kind of an international sport, but the majority of clubs are still Devon, Cornwall and kind of Dorset based, really. So, yeah.
How much does it cost for a gig then?
About £22,000.
You're kidding me.
No, so not a small amount, but these things are, traditionally built. So there's only a handful of people that can build them to the specifications that are required.
So are they made of gold or something?
Well, not quite. Cornish elm, although not so much Cornish elm around anymore. So sort of Dutch elm, it tends to be used more commonly. But they are sort of handcrafted, you know, boats. They are built from specific materials and to a specific kind of criteria. The CPGA, which is the Cornish Pilot Gig Association, which is the governing body, need to check, I think, at three different stages throughout the build to ensure the boat has been built to the right specifications.
So you pay £23,000 for a gig boat.
Right.
And how long is that going to last you?
Well, a lifetime. I mean, if you think about one of the boat that all of the other boats are kind of crafted from, the blueprint, is a boat called Treffy, which is a Newquay Pilot Gig Club boat, and it was built in 1838, and they still raced it today. So, I mean, if you look after a boat, then it could last for, you know, years and years. And that would be the hope. We've just got a new boat in Exmouth earlier this year, and the hope would be that would be around for decades and for generations to use.
And are most of them built in Cornwall?
Cornwall and Devon, I mean, there's a few builders up in the Bristol area. There's one, actually, that's just started up in London, alongside, actually, a brand-new gig club in London on the Thames. But the majority of builders are, again, southwest-based.
So when you build a gig, does it have to be of certain standards? Like, of course, when you build a car or anything else?
Yeah.
Is there a criteria that you've got to have this and you've got to have that? Well,
the CPGA would specify the measurements, the materials used, where the seats are. Boat builders are trying to find a way of maintaining that sort of specification, but trying to make boats a bit lighter. Now that the racing is so popular, obviously a slightly lighter boat, you know, some would argue may give the crew a slight advantage over a heavier boat, but they still need to be very, you know, sort of specific to the to the way the boats are built, and the CPGA, you know, like I say, keep a very, very close eye on that. So,
how did you get involved in all of this then?
A friend of mine who I kind of met in Cornwall, and he'd been rowing for Lou Pilot Gig Club for some time, which is a well-established club, bumped into him in Exmouth. He mentioned that someone was looking to start a club up, which was Ben, you know, who started the club. And, yeah, I kind of got involved maybe 3 or 4 months after the club started in 2014 and have been rowing ever since, and now do some kind of coxing as well for the club, and obviously, like you said, treasurer as well. So, yeah, love it, love it.
Is it something that the whole family can get involved in?
Yeah, I mean, since I joined, my wife has since joined as well, and now she's probably twice as good as I'll ever be at rowing. But and the boys come down to the beach. You know, obviously, we launch from the beach at Exmouth, or from Shelley Beach around the corner there, and they love to come down, and, you know, hopefully, when they're older, you know, if they want to get involved, then that would be great.
When you say older, what do we mean by that? Are we talking sort of 14, 15, 16?
Yeah, kind of 14 plus. Most clubs would have a couple of youth sort of crews, maybe sort of 14-year-old, 16-year-old, and that's, for our club, our next sort of like priority, really. We're going to try and see if we can get some youth involved, and see if we can maybe develop a few crews to take to some regattas maybe next year. So.
And how are you going to go about that? Because as I always say on this program, week after week, we get guests in and we talk about trying to get youngsters involved in a certain thing, whether it's a club, society, and I suppose this is no different. How on earth do you try and encourage youngsters? Presumably, we're talking about getting the families down, but what about schools, for example?
Well, yeah.
Can you go into schools and say to people, look, there's a world of gig racing out there, why not have a go at it?
I think you're right. I mean, we've obviously got a massive community college in Exmouth, and our plan is to obviously, you know, see if we can get some information into that sort of avenue. We've heard through the grapevine that within the community college there are a lot of keen sort of indoor rowers that use the kind of like, you know, the rowers that you see in gyms and stuff. So the hope would be that a lot of those individuals that obviously fancy themselves as a bit of a keen indoor rower might well want to give the real thing a go, you know.
Yes.
And yeah, although it's not the same, there are obviously similarities. So with a bit of you know, keeping our fingers crossed, I'm sure once they give it a go, they'll be hooked. But we just need to get them down there and let them experience what gig rowing is all about.
There's a lot of big events that go on during the year. I suppose one of the biggest, it's fair to say, is the Isles of Scilly one, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. The World Championships. It's always the early May bank holiday every year. It's basically just a weekend of rowing. Starts Friday evening and carries on right through to Sunday evening. You know, I think this year we attended. It was the busiest year they've had. I think it was in the region of 150 boats. Which is a spectacle in itself. I mean, to be up, say, on the garrison on St Mary's, to see, you know, 100 plus boats all lined up on this kind of start line, which is a mile long.
I'm intrigued to know how you get the boat over there. Do you stick it on the Salonian or something?
Pretty much, yeah. It's a bit of a logistic nightmare. Again, the CPGA, bless them, oversee the shipping of the boats out there and back. And, yeah, boats start to go across in, you know, January, February. They use the Salonian and their kind of like their other boat as well. I can't remember.
So one trip of the Salonian.
They
ship
them across, I think, two or three at a time. So every club gets a kind of a slot, you know, when they need to get their boat down to Penzance Harbour. We shipped both of our boats across this year. We had an excellent year this year, and we took over more members than we ever have. We had, you know, two men's crews, two ladies' crews, a men's vets, a ladies' vets crew. It was an amazing weekend. We, you know, did better than we'd ever done from a performance point of view. And having so many members over there, obviously, it was just a great social as well. And, yeah, come Sunday evening, I think there were a few beers drunk and a few sore heads on the Monday morning. So.
What about training? Because it's obviously very important. You can't just stick yourself in a gig boat and row off into the sunset, can you?
Yeah, no, you need to prepare. I mean, it's becoming more and more competitive, the sport of gig rowing. I mean, the clubs that, you know, are nearer the top of the sort of performance echelon, you know, are pushing it every year. So you do need to train. I mean, in preparation for the World Championships in Isles of Scilly, you know, we were out as best we can two or three times a week. You know, if you can't get out on the water, you know, you're going into the gym and hitting that as best you can. So it is a requirement. I mean, you get out what you put in to an extent. You know, if you can row more regularly and if you can train harder, chances are you'll probably perform better. But the good thing about the World Championships, you know, if we're looking at that event in itself, the way they structure the event is that after you do this one big long race when everyone's involved, depending on where you finish in that, you get put into kind of like a group. And the group you're put in is is boats that finished around you. So whether you're, you know, super fit and right at the top, or whether you, you know, still in need of improvement and near the bottom, you're going to get to be racing other boats like you. So yeah, it's a great weekend.
You mentioned about the Isles of Scilly, which is the big one. What about some of the smaller ones that you go to?
Yeah.
For example, my neck of the woods, Salt Ash in Cornwall.
Yes.
Did you do that one? And I think Lyme Regis as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's lots of local regattas. The one down on, obviously, the Tamar, which Carradon organised, they have two events. They've had their local regatta, which was last weekend. Unfortunately, we didn't quite get to that one, but we attended their Three Rivers event, which was earlier in the year, back in April. The majority of the regattas we attend are sort of obviously more local to Exmouth. So we've recently been to one sort of Solcombe, Dartmouth, Weymouth. We've got ones coming up next weekend at Tynmouth on the Saturday and then Bridport on the Sunday. So over the course of a season, we'd probably go to maybe 7 or 8 regattas. Again, as the club builds, hopefully we could attend more. You know, there's generally one probably every weekend, if you really wanted to attend. And you can go down to Cornwall if you've got the individual that's prepared to tow and the members that want to go down there. So, yeah, there's always races to be found.
And what happens in the wintertime when it's cold
I mean,
and rainy?
We still try and get out when
we can. And windy.
Yeah, it's more difficult, obviously, and you wouldn't have any kind of regattas on the weekend. But you still need to be out there training. During the winter months, we have sessions on a Saturday and a Sunday morning because you obviously lose the evenings because of the light. And, you know, we'd be out there, you know, sort of whether it be introductory sessions or sessions for our more, you know, experienced members. But no, you can still get out when the conditions allow. You know, wind and tide are our two worst sort of enemies in Exmouth. If you've got those two causing havoc, we sometimes do have to, you know, sort of cancel the odd session because safety first. But we had a really good winter, the one just gone. You know, the weather allowed us to get out very regularly, so we were still out able to enjoy rowing. And, you know, you do get some beautiful winter days as well, where it's just flat calm, and yeah, you can kind of go out there and again enjoy the environment.
How good is rowing for you generally?
Well, very good. I mean, rowing uses pretty much the whole of your body. It's also non-weight bearing, so if you've got individuals that maybe have issues with sort of, you know, knees, hips, you know, and they're told to avoid, you know, things like jogging, you know, it is non-weight bearing. Obviously, it's quite intensive. You know, if you're going to push yourself, if you wanted to get involved in the racing aspect of it, it's not easy. I saw a clip once, or like a kind of one of these things on Facebook, you know, where if it was easy, everyone would do it. So when it comes to the racing, obviously not everyone does it because it's tough. But when we go out for social rows, you know, they're a bit more relaxing, and it's activity, and it's so yeah. I'd encourage it's available to anyone. You know, whether you're sort of 14, 15 year olds, like we've been talking about with the youth, we've got members in their 60s. You know, and when we went to the World Championships, there was an individual racing for one club who was in his 80s. So you know, it's a sport that's available to all, and it's good for you. So.
See, in recent times in particular, we seem to see more rowing on the television. That can only be a good thing, whether it be the Olympics or special events that they televise.
That's right. I mean, rowing is a popular kind of sport, and it's becoming more and more popular as a spectator sport. I mean, you get, obviously, the Oxford-Cambridge, you know, sort of boat race every year. You get, obviously, the Olympics when they come around. Obviously, a slightly different form of rowing, but, you know, it is all, you know, seen as rowing of some sort. And, you know, gig rowing, we always get that bit of publicity again around the World Championships. And it is just getting so popular so quickly that it wouldn't surprise me if we saw it kind of popping up, you know, on television a bit more. At the boat race this year, they actually raced some traditional, they were eight oared, kind of like not quite the same specifications, but wooden kind of gigs as such. They had a kind of Oxford-Cambridge race, you know, before the main boat race, where some of our members were sort of invited up. It was kind of like a CPGA team against, I think, London Pilot Gig Club team. And, yeah, the guys that went up thoroughly enjoyed it. So
you mentioned £23,000 for a gig boat.
Yes.
To build and get on the water. So you need money. How does that come in? How do you get that?
Right. Well, I mean, we went through a process to get the money for our latest gig. The One Family Foundation basically had these awards available, and you could submit your sort of bid, and then it was up to the vote. So, you know, the locality, you know, the population of Exmouth got fully behind us, you know, voted for our club, all the members, all their friends and family, and we were successful. So that's how we achieved, you know, the sort of money for that new boat. But, you know, we're always looking for sort of you know, local support. You know, we're always looking, you know, if people want to maybe, you know, sponsor us. Green Valley Cider is one of our main sponsors at the moment. You know, they sponsor our kit. And we're always looking out for new sponsors and new people that would be prepared to support the local club. Because, yeah, we've got the new boat, but, you know, maintenance, you know, there's other equipment you need to buy, you know, towing to and from regattas, you know, like any club. Obviously, you need, you know, my role as treasurer, I keep a close eye on it, you always need funding to keep things ticking over.
And you could do with some more people, couldn't you, really? Well, I mean, you do seem to be doing quite well, yeah, at the moment, for what you were telling me earlier, but you could always do with some more,
new
couldn't
members
you?
Are always welcome. I mean,
what do they need to do to get in touch,
right,
with,
well,
you?
I mean, the easiest way is going onto the website, so it's exmouthgigclub.com, or just Google Exmouth Gig Club. On there, there's a bit of information about the club, a bit of information about what we call introductory sessions, which tend to run every kind of 3 to 4 weeks, so they can have a look at when those are, and there's kind of like a contact us, you know, kind of point on the website. You put your details in, get in touch with a member of the team, and yeah, they'd be able to sort of book you into one of those introductory sessions, so you can just come down, give it a go. We give everyone 3 introductory, you know, rows, so that's just them down, they're free, you can come down, meet the club, have a little go at it, see whether it's for you, and, you know, if they're keen as mustard, then you can join up.
So what's next for the rowing club? You sound as though you're quite successful. You do seem to be doing quite well.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
Well, like we said earlier, I think the youth section is a bit of a priority. So we're going to look to see if we can bring, obviously, some youngsters into the club, but also develop what we have got, you know. Our kind of crews, you know, hopefully we can get them training harder, developing further, so we can be, you know, even more successful on that side of things. But also look at what else we can do from a kind of a social point of view. We do go for social rows, whether it be up to Topsham, looking for ways of sort of enjoying the environment we row in, because, you know, what we'd like to think is we can, you know, cater for individuals that want the more competitive aspect of rowing, but also for those that, you know, just want to come on and enjoy the River X and enjoy the kind of social family atmosphere that hopefully we try to create, really.
And what's the next big event that you'll be taking part in?
Well, we've got, yeah, this Saturday we've got Tynwith Regatta, and then on the Sunday, this time next week, we'll be probably warming up for Bridport. So we've got a couple of regattas coming up, and there's the county championships in Newquay in September. So that's the next kind of larger sort of, and all the clubs attend the county championships, all those that want to. So we've got that in the September months. So we'll be looking to maybe select some crews and attend that one, you know, back in September. So.
And what about prizes? Is it money, or is it a trophy, or both, or is it a replica of a gig?
The prizes,
in miniature?
They tend to give trophies. So yeah, unfortunately, there's no money involved with winning at these events, but I mean, obviously the kudos for being successful, and yeah, some shiny you know, sort of trophies and stuff. Again, at the moment, you know, there's the big clubs, Carradon, Loo, Falmouth, which do tend to kind of dominate the more sort of the larger events. I mean, Falmouth have won the world championships, the men, for the last 6-7 years. And Carradon, actually, your local club, you know, their ladies have been phenomenal for the last 2 years and have won the ladies for the last couple of years. So they'll be tough to beat. And, you know, new club, we are still sort of in the kind of lower echelons of these sort of, you know, larger events. But every year we just look to improve, you know, and that's all we can ask for.
And I suppose being in Exmouth, of course, the big advantage is a fairly wide river to work on.
Well, yeah.
Unlike some places.
Yeah, we do have a bit of water there, but because of the tide and the fact there's just like a million moorings out there, it's actually really, really challenging. Sometimes we go to other clubs and we kind of look on in envy that they can basically go out whatever the weather, and they might have some, you know, sort of jetty that they don't even have to get their feet wet. It can be challenging. When we can get out off the beach, you know, so out through the estuary mouth and up the beach, it is great. But again, you've got to keep your eye on the tide. You know, if the tide, for example, is going out, you'll go out really easy and you'll turn around near, the lifeboat station. And, yeah, you've got to go against the tide, against the wind, and, yeah, you don't want to get stuck out there. So, yeah, more often than not, we can get out, but the tide and the wind does kind of play havoc sometimes in Exmouth, bless it. But the boats can take it. You know, the boats are designed for this. It's the rowers, us guys, that struggle.
More difficult.
Yeah, but yeah. We'll get there, sir.
Now, did I hear you say you're out on the water today?
Yes, we've got 2 crews going out this evening, a men's training crew followed by one of the ladies' crews. So, yeah, it'll be good to get out. The weather's looking okay at the moment, so we'll have to see what the water water's like. I think there's going to be a bit of tide, like we were talking about. I know there's a bit of tide this week, so I'm sure it won't be easy. But you know, that's the whole point. So,
good stuff, Greg. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about gig racing.
That's right.
Things
thank
I
you
didn't
me.
Know about it, but
well, bless you.
Fantastic. Listen, thank you so much for giving up your time, and have a good day out on the water later on.
Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The treasurer of the Exmouth.